If marshmallow salad were a dinner guest, she'd be the sparkly hooker with a heart of gold your Uncle Nick brings to Easter dinner every year. An embarrassing, loud, colorfully dressed dish that you can't help but love. Plus, it's sort of understood you don't talk about either one of them in public. G'day, y'all, and welcome to episode 99.
Wow, 99 new ideas.
There you go.
By Kiplinger. If anybody is old enough like me to remember those TV commercials, and I think they were on the radio too. 99 new ideas.
I missed it. I'm sorry. So it's smorgasbord. It is. This sort of comes back. I went back home, as we all know, recently, and I love the salads at home. I love the salad before the meal. I love the salad.
Remember in the 80s, all the big salad restaurants in California? Yes. What happened to it? It's still there? I don't think so.
No, I haven't seen any because it was like Super Salad and they had kind of a name like Super.
Yeah. Yeah. They were really big at one time. You couldn't even, you have to wait online to get in and two lines for the salads and then the soup and the breads.
It was the quick lunch too because you got like a half cup of like that little cup of soup and the salad. And well, and then they used to have the salad bar area. Which I didn't see any salad bars because they're all gone.
Yeah, well, you can't sneeze out of them anymore. No,
with the sneeze card. I remember being little, just being able to stick my head up over it. That's where I know you don't like beets. I'm not bringing it up for that, but I remember it's like, you'll have beets, and they used to have marinated green beans and different cheese. I'm like, oh, I'll try that one. Bacon bits.
That's what was good.
Seeds, everything. Yeah. And then they all went, and that used to be like unlimited. Like you'd get your salad and go to the salad bar and do it that way.
Yeah, and then, but it's healthy, you know, and it's I'm on a diet. I'm eating salad. And they load it up with like blue cheese dressing at the end. Yeah.
And more croutons than grains.
You could have the chicken broth or, you know, like the clam chowder or the bacon and cheddar cheese soup.
Yes, give me the loaded baked potato soup.
Yeah, right. I don't know. This diet ain't working.
That's right. I don't know what's happening. And I just noticed like the different salad mixes at home. Like I didn't see Greek salad anywhere until I went to a Greek restaurant.
Oh, yeah. To a diner.
Yeah, that's right. And like you have the broccoli salads. Like I know when you guys go back, Jeanette likes to, you know, you guys get the salad mixes sometimes to have back.
Yeah, we get it. There's one we get and it's like, raisinettes in it or something. Not raisinettes.
Craisins
in it and other like healthy things that you that's in a little bag and you put them into it.
Yeah. And I did that. I was on a Cobb salad frenzy. So I kept buying different one. I got one from Trader Joe's and one from
We've been buying a lot recently over at Aldi, the kale salad, kale slaw.
Yeah. Cause it's quite good because it's not too sloy.
Yeah. It just needs more dressing.
Well, there you go. Doesn't everything. Yeah. And you can add to that. So I did a bit of that. And there's a weird salad here at Montezuma's Mexican food. They chop up broccoli and cauliflower and stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't put enough dressing on it. And it's sort of I sort of feel
– missing the dressing again.
I'm missing it. And I feel like I'm – like my jaw's working like a cow in the field. Like I keep working on a cud. Just like it's too crunchy, it's raw.
Back that memory of we talked about the other week with the granola. Yeah, I couldn't chew it enough.
That is it.
Yeah, and the other day, went to Costco, and then Jeanette said, could you bring me back a Caesar salad? It was
were they out?
No, and I put two and two together because of the lettuce shortage.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it would be $49.95 if they put it out.
Should we not be getting that Caesar salad? Yeah. That one? It was the land of summer and no issues with lettuce. So I was able to get lots of yummy
stuff.
Except
for water, which it needs lots of.
Yeah. Does need lots of water. Yeah. But so we thought that we might, because Americans do salads a bit differently. Because here I have found, you know, unless you're going to a restaurant, like a Greek restaurant, a Greek salad, or, you know, you usually just get some leaves.
Yeah, onto your plate.
That's it.
With your schnitzel. Yeah.
That's it. And there might be enough dressing
to
sort of.
Palma.
And some, you know, maybe some anemic purple onions in there and not too much. So it was quite nice seeing it. And actually, they do Ainsley, I think, no, my mother got a salad as a main meal that had chicken on it.
Yeah.
It's like a chopped chicken. But then it was like super salad as an entree before it. It's like, do you want salad with your salad?
Oh, that sounds enough. Yes.
And Ainsley was a bit concerned because she had a pasta dish and she got a salad at the beginning and they brought it out. She goes, oh, that can't be mine. That has to be someone's like main dinner. They went, oh, no, that's your that's what you start with. And she's like,
oh, yeah, right. It's just like a big, big bowl, right? Yeah.
It was like for the table.
Yes.
Actually, there's been some fancy restaurants I go to. I didn't get that much for the table when we bought the sides. Now, so we've got some fun facts in ancient Egypt. Lettuce was, well, it's sacred now, was sacred to the fertility god Min and considered to be a powerful aphrodisiac.
Yeah, and Brendan looked up a picture of Min, and he's looked like, what's his name again?
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, you know, walked like an Egyptian, except he had a little hanger on the McDonald's, if you got my drift. So I guess it isn't an aphrodisiac, right?
Moving right along. Okay, the average American eats...
You want cob salad or... I'll have carrots with my salad. Thank you. Yeah.
You two are 12 years old. I love it. All right, fun fact two. The average American eats 4 salads every week.
Wow.
62% said the dish is part of their regular diet.
Yeah. High fat diet, because we talked about it before. It's like this.
Cover it with
whipped creamy dressing.
That's right. And if they're going, and Americans like to go out to eat. So if they're going out to eat, that salad would absolutely be part of that.
Yeah, I'd like to know, you know, just thinking about the most popular dressing in America is Hidden Valley Ranch.
Yes.
Well, without a doubt, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. How many people would still eat Hidden Valley Ranch if they know that the parent company is Clorox?
That goes back to, wasn't it, who was it? Colgate lasagna.
Yeah, like right. You can brush your teeth while you're eating pasta. Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of takes sort of the yumminess away from it, I think. Now, a poll of 2,000 U.S. adults revealed iceberg wins as the best salad base. And for 31%, it's kale is the – oh, sorry, at 31%. And kale is a top choice for 23
– just a few years ago, kale wouldn't have been in the top 10.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it would have been
kale revolution.
It has been. Everyone got into it with kale.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, you're trying to be healthier, but yet you need a lot of stuff on kale for it to taste.
Yeah. Or you got to really, like we just talked about with the Aldi kale salt, just got to chop it up really fine.
That is it, because it's very, very fibrous. Mm-hmm. But iceberg lettuce, the lettuce that has no nutritional value to it.
There's a lot of things like that.
But it makes you doesn't get in the way of the taste of your dressing.
Yeah, that's true. It just takes the flavor of everything. But, you know, like you've been to a steakhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever they do with their lettuce, it comes out icy cold. You can't put it in a freezer, wilt. So I don't know. I think they just put it in a bucket of water with ice in it and then like shake it out and then serve it to you, because it's like chilly cold.
That is the trick. To
when they serve that
keep
big
it crunchy.
Wedge of it. Yeah, they serve that big wedge.
Oh, I love a wedge salad now.
Okay, well, we're going to take a musical pause here and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back.
Hello.
After 99 times.
Feels like 99 today. Yeah. Spoiling the main dish. In the U.S., diners typically eat their salads before the main course. Former meals in America generally start with a salad and or soup, followed by an appetizer or an entree, and then the dessert course. According to etiquette expert Jocelyn Yost, starting off with a salad can prevent overeating later on.
Yeah, I've read that recently also. People that eat salad eat less.
Yeah.
Because you are filling up on something at least a little bit halfway decent for you than the fried chicken that you're going to eat afterwards.
Yeah. And it's nice and crunchy. I know, like in some parts of Europe, they have the salad at the end of the meal. Yeah. And so it's sort of refreshing. But now I was really happy when I was like, oh yeah, I get my little entree. I feel like I'm getting something free, mm-hmm. even though I'm paying for it, I know.
Yeah.
But it feels special, feels good. Now, you know, you can't have salad without salad dressing, as we've just talked about. Mm-hmm. So I was looking up and I expected something to happen maybe in the 1800s with, you know, someone with some balsamic vinegar somewhere, but it goes back, salad dressings go back at least 5,000 years. So ancient times, they dressed their salad. And in the 20th century, Americans went a step further, as we do,
yes,
mm-hmm. in salad development, making it a fine art by using basic ingredients, oil, vinegar, or lemon juice and spices, and Yankee ingenuity to create an infinite variety of sauces and dressings to make salads the best ever.
Who made this salad? You remember that? That's another line.
I do remember that.
Caesar.
That's right. So store-bought salad dressings and sauces were largely unavailable until the turn of the century, which makes sense because we made everything at home.
Well, and also it had to do with, you know, the production and making the food safe.
That's exactly right.
You know, so, how they had to package things and refrigerate it sometimes, you know.
And all of that. So they were available on the market as the early as the 20s in 1896. In Columbus, Ohio, Joe Marzetti opened up a restaurant and began to serve his customers a variety of dressings developed from old country recipes. Mm-hmm. Consumer acceptance led him to bottle and sell his dressing to restaurant customers in 1919.
Yeah, now we got, well, the Marzetti stuff we sell has two Z's.
Yes.
Like, yeah. So this is a different, maybe it's another relative.
Could be a relative. Yeah. It's like my relatives. You can tell when they someone didn't hear them correctly because everyone else is spelled one way and ours is spelled the other way. Now, people here will be happy. In 1912, Richard Hellman.
Oh, I heard that name before.
Yeah, lots. Yeah. And a deli owner in New York began to sell his blue ribbon mayo in wooden containers. 1 year later, in response to a very strong customer demand, Mr. Hellman began to market the mayonnaise in glass jars.
There you go.
And it's still.
And it still has a blue ribbon on it.
And it still does. And it's still.
Why can't you ever want a blue ribbon or just put it on there anyway because it'll look nice?
Probably it should have. If there was a blue ribbon to win, he would.
Yeah.
And in 1925, the Kraft Cheese Company entered the salad products business and purchased several regional mayonnaise manufacturers. And the Milani Company, which led to Kraft's initial entry into pourable dressing business with French dressing as its first flavor.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a little tidbit. I don't know if we talked about this before. During the Prohibition, mm-hmm. you know, all the beer companies, everything, almost like belly up, except for Pabst.
Right.
You know what Pabst started making to compete with Kraft?
What?
Because Kraft just came out with their processed cheese, mm-hmm. which didn't need any refrigeration.
Right.
And they had basically to produce beer and to produce cheese. It's quite similar.
Oh, well, yeast.
As far as equipment goes. Yeah. So they actually took it to Kraft. And started to outsell them on their own cheese. Okay. And then at the end of the Prohibition, they just stopped. They because Kraft was going to buy them out or something like that. And he just said, no.
Went back to beer.
Yeah, we're going back to beer.
See, there's a Yankee ingenuity as well, keeping it going.
And he was a nice guy. Look at that. Right? I'm sure Mr. Kraft hated him during the
year. Yeah. We didn't get the story of no one ripped anyone off with that one.
No, he had to develop it on himself because he couldn't copy the patent and all mm-hmm. that. So they did develop it on their own because of a necessity to keep the plant open.
I never heard that one before. I think that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to talk about these dressings, but I want to go back using these dressings. And this is the old sketch that they used to do when people were going to go to America. Do you want soup or salad? Baked potato. No, it was like baked potato, peel off, or fries. Do you want bacon bits on it? And then it'd be like soup or salad. Yeah. Salad. Do you want Green Goddess? Do you want Russian, Thousand Island, Ranch, Catalina, Italian, French? I remember seeing Brendan go through that.
Could you say that again?
Yeah.
Because I think I missed one.
What was that second one back there?
Yeah.
I remember Brendan, his look on his face was just like,
Yeah.
What it was like, and I went, just get the Italian. It's fine. That was it.
But you know, just for whatever funny reason, I was thinking about the first one, Green Goddess, today, this morning.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, in the early morning hours. Somehow or another, just Green Goddess. I haven't had Green Goddess dressing in ages.
I just bought some not too long ago. I saw it in the store and I was like, I don't know if it's the traditional, but I thought, oh, I feel like that. Because it was only it wasn't on every restaurant list, it was quite nice. So we'll start with
probably
that.
Not the most popular one.
But it's yummy because it's the tarragon, I think it has in it. So, but I've got a thing because it started in San Francisco. So, you know, a salad dressing is, it's mixed of mayonnaise, anchovies, tarragon vinegar, parsley, scallions, garlic, and other spices. And it started at the Palace Hotel in the 20s. And there was an actor, George Arliss, who stayed at the hotel while he was performing in a play called The Green Goddess.
Oh, so that's because it is green.
It is very green. It really pretties up a lot of stuff.
I always thought, like when I was younger, that was, now that you read the ingredients, I always thought there was avocado in there.
Well, that would make sense. Yeah. But I think... I think that's one of those recipes. Different restaurants have made it their own way, so you might not have that traditional flavor. Yeah.
And then we got the Russian dressing.
Yum. Huh. On, I want that on rye bread when I'm having a Reuben. So it consists of mayonnaise, pimentos, chives, ketchup, and spices. The name comes from the earliest versions that included a distinctly Russian ingredient.
Caviar.
Wow. Ooh. That would have been
bring the price
fancy.
Back up.
That's exactly right.
And then one from my trivia question last week about the archipelago. And what American dressing got its name from an archipelago?
And the answer is
Thousand Islands. Yeah, there you go. And I've been through the Thousand Islands twice.
Where is it?
It's upstate New York.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's in between like New York and it just spreads up there past the Catskills. And even on our last trip, when we come back down, we actually had a ferry that went across, and I was at the top of the Thousand Islands. But I remember as a kid going up there and like the smallest island, you know, it was all these little things you have to go look at. And then, then there was an island that had the American flag on one side and the Canadian flag on the other.
Oh, it's on the border. Yeah.
It's right on the border.
Oh, I like that. Mm. Now Thousand Island was probably the, when I first saw it, appear here. I saw that and it's before you could get ranch anywhere. And it was made of green olives, peppers, pickles, onions, hard-boiled eggs, and other finely chopped ingredients. And I think it's sort of like that and something else is like special sauce at McDonald's. So like we stick that when we make In-N-Out burgers, we use Thousand Island.
So he named it after visiting black bass and northern pike fishing for those up in the Thousand Isles. I always thought it way they call it Thousand Isles because it was all these little bits and pieces in it.
Well, that makes sense too.
The way my brain thinks, you know.
Well, that's like, well, who thought there was an actual Thousand Island? Well, you should have because you went there.
Yeah.
But Shore Dinners, they used to use this unusual salad dressing.
And the most famous dressing of them all.
It's actually so famous, it's actually sort of an ingredient as well as a dressing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking about ranch.
Are we talking
about ranch? I'm talking about ranch.
It's like American kids will bleed ranch if you get a vein open. So it's made of buttermilk, salt, garlic, onion, mustard, herbs, commonly chives, parsley, and dill, and spices, commonly pepper and paprika, and ground mustard seed and mixed with mayo. But the story is, you tell the story about how it was on the Hidden Valley Ranch. The ranch.
What ranch? It was on a ranch.
Didn't you know the story? We've talked about this. Okay, let me tell you the story.
If I did, I forgot.
Once upon a time.
What? So it's not real.
That's real. There was a gentleman who decided he was going to have a change of scenery, and he bought a ranch in Santa Barbara County, and he named it Hidden Valley Ranch.
Oh.
And
I was in Santa Barbara. I didn't see it.
Well, it's hidden. That's why.
Right.
It's secret. Yeah. It's secret. And that was, let me just check the years. So that was, I think that was actually in the 50s. I didn't pop that there. Mm-hmm. But he was sort of a salad dressing aficionado. And this was his sort of special one that he made up.
Right.
And he served it on the ranch. Everyone loved it. And then he started selling the ingredients, the seasonings in packets,
right,
where you can just add mayonnaise
like we do.
That's right. So he is the founder, or that Hidden Valley Ranch is actually a real place with ranch dressing.
There you go now.
So there you go.
And then, like it got written here, in 1992, it overtook the Italians.
Just their dressing, not the old Italians. Yeah. It's okay. I don't want to get anyone upset.
Okay. So, and then we got Catalina.
Yes.
Was that name for Catalina Island or?
Yeah, Catalina. It must be.
I don't know any other Catalina.
I don't either. I just only think of poor Natalie Wood. yes, Catalina dressing has paprika, red wine vinegar, Worcestershire sauce, and ketchup blended with oil to create a creamy, nuanced, spicy dressing. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned, it was my product, I think, last week.
Yep.
And you add that to a bit of salsa and you've got taco salad dressing. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then we got the Italian one, which is a vinaigrette type dressing, and the American zine consists of water, vinegar or lemon juice, olive oil, chopped bell peppers, sugar or corn syrup, herbs, spices including oregano, fennel, dill and salt, and sometimes onion and garlic.
And that was the first one, the Good Seasons Italian in the packet.
Yeah, and that's still very popular.
It is.
And even though it's not the most popular one because of ranch.
I like it because I get my cruette that has my this much oil, this much water, and then put your dressing in. I love it. And then French dressing. Mm-hmm. So it's a creamy dressing that varies in color from pale orange to bright red. Depends who's in the kitchen.
Yeah, and the food coloring you're using.
It is made of oil, vinegar, sugar, and other flavorings with coloring derived from tomato and often paprika. It exists on a spectrum between Russian and Catalina dressing.
There you go. Now let's talk about what we're talking about. Salads. Let's talk about the salad.
Oh.
So we got the wedge salad.
I love
everybody
a wedge
likes
salad.
A wedgie. Yeah.
Not if it goes over your head. That's painful. But this salad, you do need a knife and fork with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often at a steakhouse. It's a triangle of iceberg lettuce. So you usually get a head of lettuce and you cut it into four or six.
Now that's like $22.
Yes, here it would be, absolutely. And it's drizzled in pale white blue cheese dressing with crumbles of bacon, bright red pops of cherry tomato, and it says pricks of green chives strewn across the top. And bacon as well, served a wedge and steak, a wedge and hamburger, or a wedge and roast chicken, or just have a wedge.
Yeah. The first one I had like that was at Ruth Chris.
Famous steakhouse.
It was just so good. I remember, you know, like, as you said, like before, we were talking about it's cold and it's crunchy and.
Oh, it's great. Mm. And all the different flavors the textures between the tomatoes and the like blue cheese crumble and all of that. And it's a meal. Yes. It can be a meal because you need your knife and your fork and you're quite full.
Now we got the famous chopped salad.
Oh, I love the chopped salad.
It originated in bright and sunny Southern California.
Well, there you go. So people do not want to get food on themselves.
That's how it all came about because people were not ordering the salad. And the owner said, well, how come you don't want salad? Because I'm all dressed up and my tie. And then next thing you know, you got the oil dripping on your tie and then you throw it away. And so that's how they said, well, then they chopped it up and then you could eat it with a fork.
And it was much easier.
Yep. And it wouldn't fall off and you didn't get all over yourself.
That's exactly right. And it is. So it was at La Scala. And it was started.
And it still exists. Still there.
It is still there. Yep. And it started in the 60s. And so it was the gourmet salad, which was a mixture of iceberg, salami, mozzarella, and marinated chickpeas was too messy. So they take it into the kitchen and it's one person with two knives.
Yep.
Chop, chop, chop. Samurai style, it says.
Yes.
Takes about
all that.
Yeah, you're all over the back. And so it takes 30 seconds to do it, and they cover it with chickpeas. Or
it just brings back memories of the samurai chef on SWAT.
I know. God bless John Belushi. Oh, I did love him. Do yourself a favor and get on YouTube and look up the samurai chef.
Yes. And then we got the Southern potato salad.
I think it's just potato salad.
Just potato salad.
Yes. So we'll let the Southerners have their due.
Well, they probably put bacon in it. Yeah. Or bacon grease.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But I put bacon in mine. So usually it is mayonnaise-based dressing. You've got your boiled potatoes. Mm. You chop it up something crunchy so you can put in onion or
See, I don't like the onion. I like the onion in it, the taste of it.
Yes.
But then afterwards, I always – just all I taste in my mouth is the onion, raw onion.
That's too much onion.
Yeah. That's even like with McDonald's. No onion, thank you.
Fair enough. Extra pickles.
Oh, wait a minute. Nobody actually has extra pickles.
No one wants them.
Yeah. I'll take everybody else's.
I put olives in mine too. Yeah.
And then you got German potato salad too.
Oh, that's warm. Mm. That's yummy. And then you have my grandma from Oklahoma. She used to make it with mashed potatoes. That's like Korean. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. She's ahead of time. So if you go to a Korean restaurant, you know, they got like all these little things around your plate. And one of them's like, it tastes just like potato salad, but it's mashed.
Oh, well, there you go. Grandma,
really good.
Winnie was ahead of her time, and I put coleslaw in the same sort of area because it's coleslaw, it's carrots, cabbage, onion, and
mayonnaise and vinegar
and dressing. And, so it's similar.
And then we got the which we didn't have here, but we just penciled it in.
Yes,
the three beans.
Three bean salad.
Which beans? The garbanzo beans.
You got a garbanzo bean. You've got like a green bean. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, that's four bean salad. Let me take that back. So, kidney,
garbanzo, and the white bean.
Bertoli.
The other one. It's
white navy. Oh, cannellini.
Cannellini. Thank you.
Sorry, I'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
And that's usually in a really nice tart vinaigrette. And it's so. And mom used to put three bean salad mix in the regular green salad when she was making that, which is very nice.
Now, for all of you that I'm a big Rick Stein fan, and he has a show that's been playing now on the TV, Rick Stein in Mexico. So I'm sure you could Google it or find it and see where you – but he does one where he's at someplace in Mexico, and it must be in the middle of Mexico. It's pretty hot and very small town, and they get like a whole big thing of a coconut, right? And they cut that. And that's your bowl.
Oh, how cool.
Okay. Yep. And then they just fill it with all sorts of stuff, and then including meat.
Ooh.
Okay. And fruit and veggies. So it's like everything all in one. And then he says that they like it sweet. So that's your fruit. And then they put hot sauce on it also.
Ooh.
And sour. So it's like everything in one. And it's like a whole meal. Wow. And he says it really suits with the weather there because you eat it, it's cold.
Well, that makes so much sense, too. Yeah. You just think about that, like the mango with the dry mango with the hot sauce. I don't remember, even though I watched it yesterday,
about where he was. Well, I tuned in late, so I don't know where he was in Mexico and what was the name of the type of salad. But, you know, it's a good series, his thing.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's really good. So we've got Mexico there, and let's go to Hawaii. So, Pokey.
Hey, Pokey. That's Pookie for the Soupy Sales fans.
That's right. I forgot all about Soupy Sales. Oh, man. So, Hawaii. So, Pookie.
Who that?
I'm going to be wasting some time on YouTube later on today. Looking up that. I'm going to look up Tony Fields, too, and the whole thing. Now, Pookie is a traditional Hawaiian salad that is made with small pieces of fresh and raw fish or seafood, which are combined with finely chopped vegetables, herbs, condiments, and seasoning. Although traditional poke uses either ahi tuna or octopus, variations of this salad are endless these days, including poke salads with salmon, mussels, crab meat, or oysters.
I think whatever was coming off the boat.
That is exactly right. And it's the one I had in Hawaii, and I get it here, usually has like a bed of rice underneath it and then yummy stuff on top.
Yeah. You know what you don't have here?
What?
Is shrimp salad.
No, I do not have shrimp salad. Well, you need to tell us about shrimp salad.
Shrimp salad, that's also sort of icy cold.
Yes.
In fact, the old shrimp things that people buy, you could put crushed ice on the bottom of it and another thing sits on top of it where your shrimp and your lettuce goes. And then, of course, the classic Heinz cocktail sauce.
Yes.
Yeah, just that sauce alone was just worth the price of admission. Yeah. And my thing is, which I mentioned in the past, was if you're going to buy prawns here or shrimp or whatever you like to call them, you know, two things.
Yep.
Go to a market. Make sure they're fresh Australian prawns that are fresh, not frozen.
Yep.
The taste difference is immense. You buy farm fresh, you know, farm stuff that comes from other countries and it's frozen. They have to put a chemical in it to stop whatever. And it loses any, and most of them are cooked. Like, why would you? That's the other thing I don't understand here. Mm-hmm. People buy prawns that are already cooked. So if they cook them in a big batch of water, all the flavor is gone too.
Absolutely.
You know, and by the time you get it, it's flavorless.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, why are you buying lobster tails here or what do you call the other things?
Crayfish.
Crayfish that are already pre-cooked. It takes all the flavor out. By the time you get it, it's used.
Yeah. I agree.
I want fresh food.
Well, Ainsley had a shrimp salad when we were in San Francisco at Swan's.
Ooh.
Ah. Oh,
yeah, but see, that's...
And it was just so fresh and beautiful.
Yeah.
And
the big jumbo prawns.
Well, we had little... She had little shrimp. Oh, she had little the little shrimp. Ones, but we were laughing because there was so much shredded iceberg.
Yeah.
But heaps of shrimp. They didn't skimp on that. But we're like, if this was back at home, the iceberg would be worth more than the shrimp.
Just shrimp, exactly.
It'd still be expensive, but for the other reason. Yeah. And that is... And it was like a Thousand Island they used instead of like the cocktail. It was beautiful. Luckily, she let me finish hers because she couldn't.
Yeah, and now we got the chef salad.
Chef salad.
So that has meat on it. That's the ham and the turkey all diced up.
Oh,
egg and cheese. It's like it's a lunch.
It is.
Yeah,
and
without the bread.
Well, you have that on the side. You go to the right restaurant, and they bring that to you.
Yeah.
And what I like about that—that's sort of what made me think about it. This whole thing because I was eating Cobb's is here. It's very hard to find a place to go and get a salad for a lunch. Like it's not
That's true.
It's only a Caesar salad and an extra $6 for grilled chicken on it.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's just like, no, I want a chunky salad that has like this, like you said, ham, turkey, eggs, cheese, just everything.
Maybe we should open up a salad station here.
Ooh, yeah. We could do the super salad.
Yeah.
We could do the whole thing. Then we cover everyone. So it just to give credit where credit is due, it started in the 40s at the Ritz-Carlton in New York City.
At the Chef Salad?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes,
and then the next one is at the Waldorf right across the street.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that was invented in 1896 by, I cannot say his last name.
Oscar Cheresky.
There you go. A dining room manager at the Waldorf Astoria in New York.
Yeah. So it has apples, celery, and mayonnaise. Like, who would think about putting apples into a salad? You know, but that's a thing also. And what one of the other things, like the Italians use a lot of grilled stone fruit that they put on a barbecue and then put it into your salad.
Yeah. And I do a little bit of, like, I've made salads that have strawberries in it, and I've made salads, you know, like mandarin and all that. Yeah. But yeah, grilled peach salad would be.
I mean, we don't do that enough where you could put fruit into salad, but it is quite good.
One of our friends said that because Barbara puts fruity things in her salad. Have her make the salad. Okay, here is my absolute favorite.
Cobb salad.
A shining example of American ingenuity and creativity. Well, it's really taking it a bit far. Cobb salad was invented in the 30s, at the Brown Derby, a famous LA restaurant whose owner, Robert Cobb, found some leftovers in the kitchen. Hard-boiled eggs, salad greens, chicken breast, avocado, chopped bacon, tomatoes, and Roquefort cheese. He tossed all of the ingredients with some vinaigrette and salt and pepper. And that's it. And I love it because when they serve it now, usually it's not mixed yet. So it has like little wedges. So you've got all your bacon here in the one wedge and chopped egg and all that, and I love it. And then just
so the Cobb salad lives on, but the Brown Derby is gone.
Yes.
All right, then we got the Chinese chicken salad,
which is
very popular in California. That's where I had it first.
Yeah,
and that's also really, really good. And I'm not even reading here, but it has all the things. I'm looking at the recipe, and it's all the things. So you have lettuce,
yep,
shredded chicken, Mm-hmm. Veggies? I don't know what the veggies were. I don't remember.
Well, often it's carrots, like shredded carrots some sort of things. Yep.
Fried noodles?
Yep.
Almonds? Or, well, the place I went to, you used to, that's a cheap so-and-so. used to put mandarin oranges into it. And then a Asian-style dressing.
I love it. The children at my house like a Chinese chicken salad, but I tried to put mandarins in it, and I was vetoed. And I was like, oh, sad.
And then we got the famous macaroni salad. So now, that could either be good or bad.
Oh, yeah. There's some
Really bad ones out there.
Stinky ones. Especially at –
You're buying it at the supermarket already done. First of all, I wouldn't buy a salad at the supermarket already done. No. Maybe Whole Foods. That's about it.
Well, yeah, where they have like the special fancy section of the salad bar. But this one, I think of macaroni salad as just potato salad with macaroni tomatoes. But it was everywhere in Hawaii. So when I was reading this, it's like, so if you get a plate lunch in Hawaii.
Maybe because potatoes are costly to bring over.
Well, and I don't know. I just wonder during the World War II, like with different people being there. But, it's almost like imagine – the plates that have the little divots for different things, and you'll get a rice in one, you'll get macaroni salad in the other, and you'll get like your meat and something else. So that was a rant.
And you put here the pasta must be overcooked to help it absorb the dressing.
Squishy.
It's like mush.
That is true.
And then we got Caesar. Who made the Caesar?
The Caesar was from an Italian immigrant, Mr. Cardini, Caesar Cardini.
You see his product in the stores here?
That's exactly right. So you can visit it at our store. And
we don't have his brand. But
don't we have Cardini? We had Cardini, didn't we?
Somebody was bringing in and selling it to the majors, but I don't even think it's there anymore. I have to check that out.
I was pretty sure. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
He lived in San Diego. So he's California, which is important. Circumventing prohibition laws in the U.S., he operated a popular restaurant in Tijuana, just south of the Mexican border.
Giving that tequila and beer.
It was great. There were many Californians, and we talked about this now. This is how the nachos started. Remember the gentleman by the name of Nacho at a hotel in Tijuana? So all the Americans had gone over for lunch. Yeah. And they kind of made something up because they ran after food.
And they made a nacho.
That's right. So Mr. Cardini was over there. All the Americans came over and he had to feed them something. So there you go.
That's the only thing I don't agree with Rick Stein. He can't say nachos. And he can't say nachos. And then the show that he was on yesterday, everything was, they were doing fish tacos and stuff. Even there, you think the Mexicans would have slapped him a few times. The tacos. The tacos. Come
just
on.
Try.
Just get it right.
That's exactly
tacos.
Right. It's like not correcting someone saying jalapenos. Oh, my God. Now, I have to say one more thing. I remember this really good pasta salad. You get the little rossini, the little rice ones. And you cook that up till it's al dente, right? And then you put dill, chopped fresh dill, and a really good mayo through it, salt and pepper. Really good side dish. My friend Amy Pope introduced me to that. Yeah, so
there's a great recipe from the Frugal Gourmet. We all remember him.
Yes, we do.
I don't know if he's still in jail or died in jail.
I don't know, but yes.
But he does a lamb recipe and done with the ouzos and the dill. And because you're getting the fat from the lamb and the flavor from the lamb into the ouzos and the dill, and it's just tomato into it, and it's just good. Oh.
Now my stomach is growling. Mm. Okay, now we've got a few other like a little weird salad types that I think are uniquely us.
Yeah.
Carrot raisin salad.
Yeah, my favorite in Vegas all the time, but you don't see it there anymore.
And it had like a sweet sort of dressing to
it. Yeah, it's funny. Like you look at it and you say, raisin salad? I don't know. Mm. But then when you taste it, oh, this ain't too bad.
It was nice. And I was saying,
I'm glad I gave it a go.
That's true. I'm eating.
Give it a go, Mike.
Kindergarten. And there is creamy grape salad, which I have seen, which has a special finishing touch. Mm. Sprinkle it with brown sugar and pecans.
That sounds like dessert.
But it's made with mayo. So that mayo kind of has this, it's that sweet savory. But that's what we do.
And the broccoli supreme salad.
So grapes and broccoli. And
colorful salad. And what dressing you put on that? A vinaigrette?
Probably. Mm. Well, I would think that would be similar. Instead of sticking the grapes in there, when you guys get your salad, Like the broccoli salad that has the craisins. Yeah. I think that's probably the bag salad alternative. And
crunchy chicken salad. Chunky.
Chunky.
Yeah. Chicken with grapes.
And pecans. Now, I have found that more of a southern, the grapes or apple in chicken salad is more of a southern thing. And I make mine more savory, sort of almost like tuna salad.
I like it savory too, but you know, with chicken salad, you know, that could be really good. And, you know, a lot of people that if you go to America and you have chicken salad or tuna fish salad, and everybody says, how come it tastes so much? And Jeanette was one of them. Why does it always taste so much? What are they putting in it that I'm not, you know? And it's not that what you're putting in it that's different.
Yep.
Is that to get the flavor, it has to be put in the fridge, make it up, put it in the refrigerator overnight.
Yeah.
And then eat it. Then that flavor from the celery and everything else you're putting into it now gets into everything. And that's the difference.
I love a good tuna salad sandwich on like a good white bread.
Yeah. So it's got to be a little old, but not green. Yeah.
Yes. That's right. It has to mature.
Yeah. It's got to mature. Like now, a lot of other things.
There was a great saying in Urban Cowboy, where he decided that he really didn't like Deborah Winger as his girlfriend because she made her potato salad or her chicken salad. She didn't put the grapes and the pecans in it. She put the onions and stuff in it.
Oh, she made it in New York. Yes,
and she didn't like that. Now, this topic.
Salads with marshmallows.
It's only Americans. And
okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, in Midwest. So I'm going to.
That's where I first had it.
Yeah, and that's right. And so here, the Midwest nickname is the land of 1,000 dessert salads. Mm-hmm. So I know a salad made out of marshmallow and canned fruit seems like a joke, but it's a mixture of mini marshmallows, shredded coconut, mandarin oranges, crushed pineapple, maraschino cherries, and sour cream, not Cool Whip, is serious stuff on the holiday dinner table. For as long as this is an author, as long as she can remember, my family has served marshmallow salad at holiday dinners. Sometimes we've called it ambrosia. On occasion, we've referred to it as sour cream salad. Truth is, we never really knew what to call it other than an embarrassment. Yeah. We're not the fanciest people on earth, but we're fancy enough to know anything that includes marshmallows should at least be served as dessert.
Yeah, it's always sweet, but it was good.
That's right. So we serve it as a side dish. There it sits on the table right beside the perfectly respectable green beans and mashed potatoes, a big bowl of marshmallows, fruit, and coconut winking, here I am in all my tacky glory, caught you looking.
Yeah.
If marshmallow salad were a dinner guest, she'd be the sparkly hooker with a heart of gold your Uncle Nick brings to Easter dinner every year. An embarrassing, loud, colorfully dressed dish that you can't help but love. Plus, it's sort of understood you don't talk about either one of them in public.
Yeah, I had one of those situations.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Can you share any of that story?
Well, Uncle Leo's brother.
Uncle Leo.
So we're I was going over to visit them. I think I forgot what I was doing over in America, but something I think with Y2K. And anyway, so Mary Jane says, look, when you come here, we're going to a dinner and an auction for Montessori, right? Because little Leo went to Montessori school there. So,
right.
And she's hammering away at me, at Big Leo, and his brother Richard, okay? Be on our best behavior.
It's a school. That's right. Yes.
And this is like Leo, and she's telling me, you got to control them. You got to be on your best behavior. You know, these people are all like very religious, a lot of them, and And I heard this over and over again. I know where her sister got it from. Just over and over again. So we get there, and everybody's at the table, and because it's like a dinner also. So you know, and everybody's chatting around it. The place is real noisy. And the only one was missing was Richard and his guest.
Right.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, Richard walks in. Okay.
Yep.
And with his new toupee on in a ponytail. And okay. And his new girlfriend who works down at one of the local places on, I think she exercises on those pole things, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Built like sort of like a bricklayer's thing.
Oh, you know? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And Yeah. It's like half of it all hanging out. The place went dead quiet as they walked to the table.
Was her name Candy?
And so Mary Jane, I guess Mary Jane knew her or whatever, so she knew what to expect. So anyway, so we're sitting at the table. There's about 10 of us, and the auctions are starting to go. Okay, this could be a long story. Okay, so the auctions are starting to go, and then everything that the boys wanted to auction on, people are just overbidding because it's like for charity, you know. Yeah. Something's worth, oh, here's a, you know, about, it's $100, $150, $200, and like, you know. And then when it gets to something they want, you know, and they're like, this one table like just keeps on like overbidding everything. And I'm looking at over the other Richard, who was Leo's mother's partner.
Right.
And he was an ex-New York detective.
Oh, okay. Oh, this, yes.
Very Italian looking. So I don't know how much he was connected anyway. And we keep on looking because we know this iceberg is going to break. And all of a sudden, Richard goes, or was it? I don't know if it was Richard or Leo. Like, just what the bank, bank, are these people bidding on? Like, we just couldn't hold it, and Mary Jane's like steaming.
I bet. Yeah. I bet people.
It was a great night.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. They finally did bid, I think, buy something. I think when the other people bought, went out of money.
Yeah, they do run out of money eventually. Yes. Oh, God.
Oh.
Okay. So now every time I
forget that night.
Every time I look at a marshmallow salad now, I'll be thinking about yeah. Montessori
school. And
their
name are Ambrosia.
That's right, Ambrosia. Okay. So now here, here are a few of them. Now, frog-eyed salad.
Oh.
So frog-eyed salad is a concoction made with little arcini di pepe pasta, so yep. Little balls, uh-huh. Egg yolks, and a whipped cream topping that can sometimes be enriched with pineapple pieces, coconut, mandarin oranges, or marshmallows. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Snicker salad.
Yeah.
So the
Upper Midwest.
Upper Midwest. Let's be. Yes. The like Snicker salad yeah. is a time-honored Upper Midwestern potluck favorite. So this is very salad-y. It's a mix of Cool Whip, apple slices, chopped Snickers bars, that's so creamy and crispy sweet, it belongs right in the center of the dessert table, except it resides at the dinner table right next to the hot dish.
Yeah. And for all those who are not familiar with the beloved Cool Whip.
Yes.
It will be in store.
Yes, that's right.
Probably by the time this is on the air.
That is very exciting. Very exciting.
Yes.
Now we've got Ambrosia.
We just talked about that.
We did, but everything's sort of Ambrosia.
Well, Ambrosia, you just open up a can of mixed fruit.
And check some, and yeah. Throw it there's in some with marshmallows in.
And coconut, cool. And you're done.
That's right. So, but the funny little bit, Ambrosia was first recorded in a recipe book from 1867 called The Dixie Cookery in the Southern United States, and you can still buy the book.
Yeah, and I was up very early this morning and put the TV on, and guess who was on there? Paula Deen.
Oh.
Making her grandma's or her mom's favorite because it was her mother's birthday. And her mother right. must be like 98. And it was chocolate, what do you call it? Lemon meringue. It was a chocolate meringue.
Chocolate pie.
Chocolate meringue pie.
Oh, that is one of Herman's favorites, is chocolate pie.
This is meringue on top of it. Ooh, but yeah. Like not like a meringue, but something else, you know, that made it like where she did the thing with the little flamethrower.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
I like anything you can use a flamethrower with in the kitchen. Now, pineapple fluff salad is also sort of like Ambrosia with cherry bits, marshmallows, pineapple. But I will say my – Waldorf salad.
That probably goes back to our last episode with the dentist.
they're behind it. Yeah. But as you've been to my house for Thanksgiving, yeah. My Waldorf salad falls into this category because for some reason my family does Waldorf salad but then sticks marshmallows in it. So, you know, we're all guilty of it. It is what it is.
All right. Well, we'll finish that off and continue on and after this musical break. Okay, we're back, and we're going to do some housekeeping.
That is my favorite thing. The code for the month of August is...
Countdown.
On the USA Foods website, you can click on the listener discount logo and see what treats are there waiting for you. And the store is open 7 days a week. You can just check our site and find out the hours.
Okay, and a personal best product.
It's your turn this week. I love this stuff myself, so please tell us all about it, Phil.
I got in my hand a box of kasha, which is buckwheat, okay? But it smells like kasha in here, as you recall from Seinfeld. But my first introduction is working in a bagel bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Fanny, who is Manny's wife, Fanny and Manny. Okay. I don't know what her real name was, but Fanny was it, and she used to make kasha and bow ties.
Oh, that's so good.
So good. It was. So, and it's so healthy for you. So, if you haven't tried kasha, it's roasted buckwheat. And we have the Wolf's kasha. And it's, you have that instead of rice or cereal or whatever, because it's, don't forget, it's gluten free because it's buckwheat. And made in the USA. And you could have it for, a kasha pilaf. Or breakfast cereal, like a hot breakfast.
With milk?
The breakfast one, absolutely. You can make it like oatmeal. And I have done that. It's really good.
Yeah. And it's like super healthy for you. So there you go. So we have that in the store, the Wolf's Kasha.
And we've been out of it for a while. So I know there's people that will be happy to see it. Not just me, but there'll be other people that are happy to see it.
Yeah, and the whole thing on the side tells you how good it is. 100% grain, buckwheat, which is dry roasted to imprint the distinctive nut-like flavor. Diet's rich in whole grain foods, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's good for you, good for your heart, your kidneys, reduce the risk of heart disease. And it's medicine in a box.
There you go. It's good and good for you.
Yes. But don't make it if you're dating anybody. If anyway, now where we are. Okay. And another nugget knowledge, and this comes from Brendan. This nugget knowledge.
Yes. You know, those little sachets you get at the bottom of your vitamin bottles and everything else. Desiccant. Desiccant? Yeah. So
you could even buy them. I know they do sell it at Bunnings. You could buy like a box that will, and basically it's the same thing. You open it up if you want to dehydrate something or, get the moisture out of something.
Can I just say, though, I've tried this with about 40 of these when I've dropped my phone in water before. It didn't work.
No, you're supposed to put in rice.
Yeah, that didn't work either. I did that another time. I have a bad luck with phones. But
keep away from the toilet.
Just stay away from me. It was never a toilet. Yeah. Now, here's some tricks you can use in the kitchen with these. So we all have these kicking around. So you can tape a small one of these packets to the underside of the lid of an herb storage container. Keeps them crisp. Mm-hmm. Taping a packet to the underside of a cookie jar lid after baking keeps meringue cookies from getting sticky or shortbread from losing its crumble. You can also toss a packet into an open bag of chips or a box of crackers and cereal, and the contents will stay crisp much longer. And if you live in a humid place, you might want to use them to keep breads from going moldy too quickly.
And it lasts for about 3 years.
Yes.
But you can buy it in a bulk. Just got to go look for it. Okay. It's probably over where all the detergents and stuff are. In Bunnings. And also, the other thing to use it for.
Tell me.
In your sports bag.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Try to get some of the odor out.
Good luck with that.
Good luck. And the other thing that people throw into a sports bag, you could throw a sheet of Bounce.
Oh, well, yes. I can see how that would make a big event.
That'll overtake all the smell.
That's right. That's right. They'll be fighting each other. Yeah.
I tried that and then, Yeah. Because then you're playing and the smell of Bounce is just overtaking you,
Who is it? I think it was Mia who used to work for us. She was out somewhere and she was talking to this guy and she was like, "Do you use Bounce?"
It's like the car show.
That's right. It's like, how do you know? She goes, oh, we saw it. His good look rating went down a little bit after that. There we go. And you have a nugget, Phil.
A nugget. Well, I talked about a little bit about it, but we're talking about salads.
Mm-hmm.
Toasted corn.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've been doing this now since I found out how to do it, or found out. I don't know. I'm sure I didn't discover it because it's like more probably Mexican. But there's two ways to do it. I do it either inside or outside. Yep. I do it outside in a cast iron skillet, butter and seasoning. And you can use things like I've been using lately, seasoned salt.
Yep.
You can use garlic, seasoned salt, whatever type of seasoning you like. That with butter, put it into a pan. If you do it onto the stovetop, turn it up high, melt the butter, stir it through, and then put it a little bit lower and just let it slowly start until it gets toasted. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, you know, and on the pizza oven, if you do it on a barbecue, just do it out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it, probably in a cast iron, it would work better because it retains all that heat.
Yeah.
And you get it to a toasty brown color and then throw that, you could probably cool it or throw it hot into your salad and mix it up through.
Beautiful.
Yeah. That's a nice thing to do. Okay.
So I like that. Now
here we got the winds of change.
Yes. Stuff's happening. So the Good Day Y'all podcast continues until episode 100.
One more.
On August 24th. We started on the 16th of September in 2020. Phil is going to be taking a well-deserved break and having some fun. And we're going to return around mid to late September with an on-camera cooking version.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm not the only one taking a break, too.
Well, yeah. Well,
our producer's taking a break.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then you're getting a break from the producer.
Yeah, we all have a break. Okay, yes. Yes, yes, that is true. There's people.
When do I get to go alone?
Oh, so bad. Yes, I will just be laughing myself here. Yes, Brennan's going to be a very good son-in-law and do a few things back at home. Mm-hmm. So once we're all refreshed and full of ideas, we will be back with their on-camera cooking version. And we are developing ideas. So we look forward to the new format. Please feel free to send in any ideas of what you might want to see. Yep. And
other than us.
Sorry?
Other than us.
Other than us. And then we will have a look at that. So we want to make sure everyone is still connected with us.
So this wraps up 99 new ideas.
Ooh, yes. So next week is?
100.
100. That's it.
The top 100.
So our sign off today, I want you to imagine Bart, Homer, and Marge Simpson in a conga line singing.
You don't
win friends with salad. You don't make friends with salad. And with that, we're off.
All right.
See ya. Next week.